May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is future priest Yoshiah Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is future priest Nabiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and an honor to present to you the future priest of priestesses now entering the sanctuary. It's a privilege and honor to present to you our first speaker, future priest Deacon Samuel Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today I want to be talking about guarding your mind. And if you just remember guarding your mind, Yeshua warned us of this. In Matthew 24 and verse 4, you can write it down for your notes, but he said, to be on guard so that no man deceives you. No man deceives you. You know, we have to remember those things. That way we don't be deceived. But if you have your scriptures, I'd like everyone to turn to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, and it's found on page 498. You know, guarding your mind, when you talk about guarding your mind, you know, sometimes we put a visual in our minds of putting on a helmet. You know, guarding our mind. And that's how we should really look at it. That way we don't allow unrighteousness to seep into our mind. But in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, guard your mind with all diligence. So you see that you have to be diligent in doing it. You can't just do it one time and it's over. You have to be diligent in doing it. Guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life. Out of it flows the springs of life. You know, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, it talks about how out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you put in your mind on a daily basis, that's what you're going to be speaking about. And, you know, it speaks it very well in the responsibility unit, which I'm going to be going over here in a bit. But, you know, have you ever experienced a time where, you know, rather if you're a parent or you're actually, you know, helping out and watching over the children, you ask yourself, well, where did this child get this from? Where did they get this from? Why are they acting this way? When we think about this, we have to really go back to what we remember or what we know in the Peace of Solution books and also in the scriptures. Where are they getting these actions from? Why do they act this way? And in part of guarding our mind, and especially the children's mind, we have to understand how the mind actually works. How does our mind actually work? And how do we guard it? Now, in the responsibility unit, on page 25, I'm just going to be reading certain sections here on page 25 and 26, where it starts off, it says, chew on this. Every action, whether responsible or irresponsible, begins with a thought. And that's the basic knowledge that we should remember when we're teaching the Peace Solution, is that everything begins with a thought. Everything we do, everything we say, it all begins with a thought. But here it says, what you think about, whether positive or negative, will affect what you believe. Now I'm going to read that again. What you think about, whether positive or negative, will affect what you believe. You know, do you remember at a time in the house of Yahweh, they had little posters throughout the sanctuary where it said, think law. Does everyone remember that? Think law. Praise Yahweh. You know, two simple words, think law. But think about the impact that it actually makes into our minds if we actually think about the law. You know, the law says to study and meditate on the law day and night, to put it into our minds constantly. And if we do that, that's what we will believe. That is what we'll put our faith in. That's what we'll put our trust in. But since it will affect what you believe, what you value, and ultimately how you behave, the actions that you take forth. But remember, it all begins with a thought. Now, you know, through the teachings of the House of Yahweh, pastors talked about the subconscious mind. The conscious mind and the subconscious mind. Now, the mind is divided into two parts, the conscious and the subconscious. The conscious mind is your reasoning mind and enables you to make choices and decisions. What you think about with your conscious mind feeds into your subconscious mind. So what you're thinking about, it goes into your subconscious mind, whether positive or negative. So what are we actually putting in our minds? Because it's going into our subconscious mind. Well, why is that so important? You know, you think about it, the things that we've been taught, the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, they actually work together. Because what you think about goes into your subconscious mind, and whenever you're in a situation, guess where that your mind comes from? The information comes from your subconscious mind. It says the subconscious mind, this is on page 26, it says the subconscious mind is so powerful. So powerful. You know, pastors explain how the power of the subconscious mind and the ability that it can actually is capable of. But so powerful that even though you're not aware of it, it influences your behavior. So going back to that question, when we see these children act a certain way, or even ourselves, why do we do this? Well, there it goes. It's what we put in our subconscious mind. It influences our behavior. It says the desire, here's an example here. Let me read this here. Throughout your life, you will make decisions that are based upon the information that is stored in your subconscious mind. As you grow and mature, the conscious mind acquires, through experiences and training, the ability to reason and consider the consequences of your subconscious responses. So everything you do is all from the information that you fed your subconscious mind, your reasoning. We have to think about these things. Now here's an example here that gives them the peaceful solution. Since your classmate constantly picks on you even though you have asked him to stop, he persists. So they're pushing your buttons. They're doing something to aggravate you. Well, how do you respond? Well, let's see here. That desire to hit someone comes from your subconscious mind. Well, how does it come from your subconscious mind? Why? Because like most people, they internalize that violence is a way to solve a problem. They internalize it. This, what they put in their subconscious mind is to solve the problem is through violence, through the media, the things that they've seen. You see these movies and these TV shows where this shows that violence is a so-called way to solve the situation. Well, it goes into their subconscious mind, and whenever they're in a situation, that's what they put forth through their behavior. Although it's not appropriate, subconsciously, you see violence as a legitimate option for stopping him from picking on you. So, you know, really, really guard your mind. What you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste. Because all those things affect your subconscious mind. So, brothers and sisters, I really do encourage you, you know, be on guard. You know, the world is at a point where it's falling, and there's really nowhere in the world that there's peace. Only here, brothers and sisters, where there's peace. Praise Yahweh. If you all please stand, I'd like to now turn it over to Great Future Priest for prayer.
The great Kahan Benjamin Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom.
Praise Yahweh. Beautiful Sabbath day. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're just coming off the greatest feast ever, right? Wasn't that the greatest feast? If you could be turning over to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, because, you know, after the feast, sometimes we get into that, that level of excitement seems to go down a little bit. And, you know, we're tired because we've been working hard and it's back to the day-to-day grind. But, you know, we have to remember that these Sabbath appointments, you know, this holy Sabbath day is a feast. Okay? You know, you don't have to wait months and months for the next feast. All you got to do is wait 7 days. Feast to feast to feast. Leviticus 23, I just want to remind ourselves, 23:1, found on page 101, it says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, concerning the feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." And if you notice, the very first feast in verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do none of your own work on it. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwellings. So remember, this is a feast day. So greatly rejoice, and greatly rejoice in the information that will be brought today to you from the greatest teacher in the world, by the way, because nothing's spoken except what he has already spoken in the past. I want to continue on a sermon that was given during the feast. About, if you'll be turning over real quick to Daniel 12, we're going to look at verse 7. It's found on page 684, but I'm going to continue on this sermon that was started. Daniel 12, we're going to look at verse 7. Found on page 684. I want everyone to look at this. It says, "Then I heard the man clothed in linen." Now, who would that be? Yes, Pastor Israel Abel Hawkins, who on that future day is teaching. Now, this is talking about the last days. How long will it be? He says, who on that future day is teaching, when he held up his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and vowed by him who lives forever, vowed by Yahweh who lives forever. Y'all remember this when Pastor got up here. On a Sabbath day years back. Yes, you remember that? And he lifted both hands to heaven. In fact, I had that calendar with the picture. It's a beautiful picture. I think it's in the Teachers of Righteousness book with Pastor holding his hands up and making that vow right here in front of the congregation. And here's what he said. He said, "It will be for a time, times, and a half when Yahweh will have accomplished pouring out his power through his holy people, all these things will be finished." So there is a definite, definite stopping point. And there's definite times laid out in Yahweh's plan. You know, this is Yahweh's plan. Remember, Yochanan 1:1, 1 through 3. Nothing is done outside of this plan. Yahweh has a plan, and he's not going to deviate from that plan. You know, I like to think of all the things, the stages we've gone through. Remember the four colors, the red, the gold, the green, and the purple. I like to think of it as, you know, long-term, short-term goals to reach our long-term goal. Our long-term goal is to enter Yahweh's kingdom and get this mess cleaned up, the earth and the universe, right? So we've been setting, Pastor has been following the peaceful solution and setting these short-term goals to reach that long-term goal. And you can think of these different time periods as those short-term goals to reach the long-term goal. Now, did everybody get a copy of the new 14th book? Y'all can see this. 14th book of Israel. Everybody got their copy? I know there was quite a few that went out of the men's side over there during the feast, but I encourage you to get this book. Get this book, okay? Get this book, the 14th book of Israel. And I'm going to show you, Yahweh is so awesome and powerful. Yahweh is so all-knowing. Yahweh, I'm going to tell you, it is just incredible. Again, remember the last book, the last purple book from 7:13, and the first sermon was 7:6:13. This one, even Yahweh continues to show marvels in these books. These books are truly inspired. So this 14th book of Israel, as you can see here, Sin Never Again. By the way, there's 13 letters in that, Sin Never Again. 14th book of Israel. It's an amazing book. I want to show you something here. The very first sermon, it's called The Pope's Homemade Peace Will Be for a Short Time, Then Comes Sudden Destruction. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they will say peace, true peace, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. Now, there is a group that will escape to Israel, remember? And we have escaped to Israel. We are here at the feet of Israel Hawkins, and we're learning how to avoid the second death. Okay, now, you know, we're going to get into that a little bit too. But I want you to notice the date. Does everybody see the date? 1-4-14. 14-14. 14th book. 1-4-14. Everybody can see that, right? What could this mean? You say. Are you thinking that? All right. Let me show you something else. In that same chapter, 14 pages. Okay? That's the end of the chapter. There are 14 pages. What could this mean? As we're scratching our head. 14th book of Israel, 14:14. Is the first sermon, and then it's 14 pages long. Go back to Daniel. Let's read 12:7 again. Then I heard the man clothed in linen who on that future day's teaching, when he held up his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and vowed by him who lives forever, that it will be for a time, times, and a half, when Yahweh will have poured out his power through his holy people, all these things would be finished. Now remember at the feast I showed you an excerpt from the fifth book of Israel, page 21, of all pages, 21, 37, 777. Keep these numbers in your mind, and keep that number 14 in your mind. I showed you on that excerpt that Pastor said a full time is 7 years, and that time is 7 years, times is 7 times 2, which would be 14. Okay? Keep these numbers in your mind. Now, again, let's go back to this new book of Israel, the very first chapter. I'm going to tell you, this is so amazing. Now, when I got my book of Israel, I usually purchase it first thing when I get here during the feast, and I leave the plastic on it, and I don't open it till I get back to my dwelling because I'm so busy doing other things. And I didn't. I didn't open it up until I got back to Laredo. And the other morning, of course, I couldn't wait to get it open and start reading it. And in the very first chapter, I want you to notice something here. And this is found on page 12 of this book. As you can see, he shows the nuclear baby and the mark of the beast. Both books that I told you during that sermon you needed to acquire. What I didn't know is I could have gave my whole sermon out of this one page right here that Pastor had already written in the very first sermon. Now, let me read this to you, the pertinent part here. He says, I'm going to show it up on the screen. It says, Daniel 12, he says, but concerning the times, he says. He says, Daniel 12 shows you the times. Daniel 9 shows you a 7-year peace treaty that would be signed that will bring us up to the end. Daniel 12 shows you that was the time, times, and a divided time. Now, Pastor says, we're in the last time right now. Remember, this is back in January of this year, 2014. We're in the last time right now. From 1993, September 13th, 93, the peace treaty was signed. It began October 13th, 1993. October 13th, 2014, he says, is 21 years. 3 times is 7, he says. We're in the last 7 years, the last part. Remember, it went for 3.5 years and stopped, and it's gone for 2 periods of 7 now, and we're in the last part again of the last 7 that stopped. You got it? He says. Now, you all understand that. That pastor back in January wrote or spoke this, saying we were in that last 7, that last time. Now, I want you to consider the 777 and the 314s that I just mentioned to you. Okay? Remember, 3 signifies completion. Okay? 3 sevens would mean that first time was complete. Time that Daniel spoke of in Daniel 12:7. Times is 14. Well, what just came out, the 14th book of Israel, at the end of the 14 years, the times. 314 signifies that that has also been completed. So the time and the times are done. They're over. Okay, does everybody understand that? The 21 years have ended that Daniel spoke of. Now, I want you to consider something, because some of you may be thinking, well, I thought that we were supposed to, since the Oslo stopped, that as soon as they started it back up, then sudden destruction would come when they said peace, true peace. Yeah, but didn't Daniel say a time? Times, if it would have occurred during the time or the times, would have it fulfilled what he said? No, it has to occur in this time period we're in now, which is called the shortened time. That is what we've been in since October 13th, 2014, about the last 10 days, okay? We're in the last time period that Daniel spoke of, and I think we should all be very excited that we're seeing these prophecies come to pass before our very eyes. It's not like we're just reading it. We're actually living it, okay? We're actually living this. We're living in the greatest time period ever. This is just such awesome, awesome information that our great overseer has brought to us. And I really encourage you to really, really study this book. This first chapter is loaded with some really, really awesome information about this treaty. Now, he also mentions in here, talks about Pope Francis and Pope Francis's mercy, the quartet. He mentions the quartet. I'm going to read in this first chapter, verse 67, something he says about the quartet. He says, well, the Pope has asked for, as you've seen this week, Quartet Representative Tony Blair to step in now. Well, Tony Blair and the head of the, was it the Jesuits? By the way, Pope Francis is the leader of the Jesuits. Do y'all understand what that means? Have you ever read the history of the Jesuits? This man is skilled in deception and trickery. Okay? The Jesuits are very, very, very well trained in bringing people down, bringing institutions down, and setting up their institutions through murder, deceit, lying, stealing, cheating. Hey, what, hey, the ends justify the means. You remember the great Kohan Yehuda gave a sermon about the Jesuit oath. And if they think they're doing their God a service, you think that murder matters to them? Absolutely not. If they take your head off, it's in God's name. And if the ends justify the means, because they're advancing their kingdom. That's their goal, is to advance their kingdom by force, by hatred, by murder, by lying and deceiving, which is the total opposite of how our kingdom is advancing, right? It's advancing by peace, by teaching, by guiding, by leading, by instructing, by loving, by caring, by kindness, by mercy, true mercy, not the mercy of the Pope, as the great women speakers showed you, the mercy is to just let the homosexual do what he does and you don't mind him, you just go ahead and go along with it? No, you become an accomplice when you go along with these things, okay? That's not mercy. True mercy, Pastor says, is to teach the peaceful solution to the people so they can turn from their sins, so they can stop suffering the curses. That's true mercy, okay? That's true mercy. Now, I'm going to continue with what he said. The quartet representative, Tony Blair, he wants him to step in, he says, and he says, Pope Francis is the leader of the Jesuits. In fact, he was a teacher of the Jesuits before he was a teacher of the Jesuit priests before he became Pope. Well, Tony Blair is one of those us. He's trying to get leaders of nations to come together, and he's getting publicity for this. And that's what he wants, so he can tell them what to do to solve the problems in this nation or that nation. And it's a simple thing, as Malachi Martin said, when you start a problem in a nation, you know what started the problem, so it's an easy thing to solve the problem, right? Remember, the Jesuits go in and they create problems. Well, they know how to fix them because they created them, right? Real simple. Now, Tony Blair, if y'all remember, he went to visit the Pope in June of 2007 and converted to Catholicism. Y'all remember that? You can Google it. You can find there. You can even Israel Hawkins it, because I'm sure he said it too, right? Hopefully you got that program during the feast as well. But you can Israel Hawkins says it, and you can also see that Tony Blair actually converted to Catholicism. And you know what he got in exchange? He became the leader of the quartet. He is the quartet representative even to this day, okay? But he became the leader of the quartet when he converted to Catholicism after visiting the Vatican of June of 2007. Remember the significance of June of 2007? Remember the war that was held back, averted by the war general? Now I want to read you an article that I started to read. Actually, no, this is a different article. And it's entitled, British Parliament to Vote on Recognition of Palestinian Statehood on Monday. This is dated October 12th. And the Monday was the 13th when they voted on it. I want to read you some pertinent parts out of here. It says, on Monday, the United Kingdom will vote on recognizing the state of Palestine. The House of Commons' motion is poised to pass the parliament despite Britain's history of refusing to approve previous and similar bids. Now, it goes on to say, The measure, now listen to what he says. This measure more or less models what former Prime Minister Tony Blair has proposed through the quartet. And the House of Commons bill is also being pushed by heavyweights from within the government. Now I'm going to continue to read excerpts here, pertinent ones. It says, we are party to the history of this conflict. This is what the British are saying, the British Parliament. Go back and study your history on Britain and the creation of the Palestinian state. Go back and read about the Balfour Declaration. Go back and read these things. Britain had everything to do with this. That's why this is so significant. But now listen, they said, we are the party to the history of this conflict. We are the originators of the Balfour Declaration and holders of the mandate for Palestine between 1920 and 1948. When he staged the proposal in the British Daily Telegraph, under the mandate, we took on a sacred trust of civilization to advance the welfare of the Palestinian people and guide them to independence. It says, the combination of illegal Israeli settlements in occupied East Jerusalem and the West Bank and the closure of Gaza means that time is not on our side if the two neighborly states we seek are to be realized. In other words, if this two-state solution is to go through, we really, you know, all this building of settlements by Israel is not going to cut it. It's never going to take place. Now listen to what he says. The move along the sidelines, or, you know, this vote that they did, the move also sidelines Israel's demand that any agreement can only be reached through negotiations and not by unilateral declarations of statehood or the international community, meaning Israel doesn't want Britain and U.S. and all the countries to vote for statehood in their parliaments. They want it through negotiations with the Palestinians. Now let me read this this last part. Let's see if I, pretty sure that I, let's see. Okay, he says, where, now listen to what they're saying in the British Parliament. Where we lead, Europe will follow. And there is urgency. There is urgency, they're saying. Urgency. Now, let me ask you a question. This article was written on the 12th of October. Do you think these guys just got up out of bed on October 13th and decided, you know, we should vote on statehood for Palestine? You think they just woke up on October 13th when Pastor told you that something was going to take place? Do you think they just woke up and did this that morning? Now, do you see how Yahweh is in complete control of this thing? They don't even realize what they're doing. Yahweh is in complete control. Well, you know what? Remember they said, where we lead, Europe will follow. Well, guess what came 3 days later? Spanish Parliament to vote on Palestinian state recognition. Remember, where they lead, Europe's going to follow, okay? Can you see what this is leading to? Do y'all see how they're going to force this thing, whether Israel wants it or not? This is going to go through because prophecy said it's going to take place. You know, this is an exciting time for the house of Yahweh. We're living through these prophecies. We're living in the middle of prophecy. We're seeing Daniel's words came to pass before our very eyes. To me, that's so exciting because I love Daniel. I love reading the prophet Daniel. And I know he's, you know, one day when he's resurrected, you know, we're going to be able to share these things with him and tell him what feast this was brought out and all these things. I'm sure he's just going to be so super excited, but he's going to be asking you questions. You know what I mean? He's going to be, it's going to be awesome time in the house of Yahweh, sitting in the workshops with these prophets and the holy women of old with the women. And it's going to be an awesome time we have to look forward to. But now I want you to understand something. Turn over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, found on page 1, I guess. I don't know, I can't even read through all the writing on my page, so I don't know if it's 1. I assume it is. Genesis 1, 14 says, "And Yahweh said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the feasts and for days and for years." Okay, now, there's a side note off there. Because it talks about the luminous bodies, the sun and the moon, being for signs, okay, and the stars and such. R2 says, when the heavenly miracles or luminaries are eclipsed, it is a sign of times, of bad times for the world. Now, do you remember what just took place during the last feast cycle? Okay, let's, April 29th, remind ourselves here. April 29th, we had a solar eclipse. This was during this time period, this 14 years. We had a solar eclipse, and notice it was on Omer 14. 14 again, there it is again. Omer 14, we had the lunar eclipse, or the solar eclipse, I'm sorry. And then this past feast, on the 8th, let's see, on the 8th day, okay, here it is. On the 8th, we had the lunar eclipse, okay, the blood moon. Remember, the sun will be darkened and the moon will become like blood before. Remember, this was before October 13th, okay, these things took place. Keep that in your mind. Now, this isn't talking about the total darkening of the sun and the moon becoming blood when the nuclear bombs drop. But this was a sign given to us by Yahweh that we are entering into the worst time of trouble ever for mankind. Now, but for the house of Yahweh, it's a glorious time. It can be a glorious time. Turn over to Luke chapter 21. Turn over to Luke chapter 21 because I've got to give you a reminder. Even though this is an exciting time for us, I remember telling you before the feast was over in my last sermon that we cannot drop our guard down here. In fact, our guard should be up higher than it's ever been at this time. We should not be slowing down. We should not be thinking, oh, well, we got a couple years left. No, you don't. We don't have any time I would sing it for you, but my voice is kind of out. I took the red-eye flight last night, so I'm a little bit off tune or off key. But no, we don't have much time, okay? We need to really get serious here. Luke 21, Yahshua gave us an admonition to be on guard in verse 34 on page 808. He says, be on guard and watch. He says, so be on your guard. See to it that your minds are never clouded with carousing, drunkenness, or anxieties and worries of this life. Why were we called to the house of Yahweh? What is our job? Is it to worry about paying our bills? Is it to worry about what our relatives are up to? Is it to worry about Uncle Joe or so-and-so being saved? You know what? I like to liken it to a great Kahan told me yesterday. He said it's kind of like, okay, the world, what's going on with the world out there, they're not even being judged. So you know what? The destruction that's coming, it's only temporary for them. But you know what? It's going to be permanent for us because we're going to suffer the second death if we don't get this right. Everybody understand that? We're facing the second death from which there is no recovery. So now listen to what Yahshua is telling you. You know, he also said that it's like, you know, when we were young, we used to go out and play cowboys and Indians or war games and then kill each other, and then we'd get up and mom would call us all in for lunch. Well, that's about what it's like with the world. They're going to die, yes. But you know what? They're going to be resurrected like new. And they're going to be given an opportunity. But this is our only opportunity, man. We got to get this right. Okay? And we cannot let our guard down. We are in the worst time of trouble ever. Read it. Believe it. Now we are entered into the worst time of trouble ever. Yahshua said, so be on your guard. See to it that your minds are never clouded. Well, you know, your minds won't be clouded if you keep your minds in the books. If you keep cleansing, get that poison out of your head. It will help to clear up your mind where you can see these things. If you're having struggles, if you're having a hard time getting up in the morning and struggles, we need to cleanse. Remember what we've been taught. So be on your guard. Your minds are never clouded with carousing, drunkenness. And that's not just talking about drunkenness, even though it is talking about alcohol, but the drunkenness of the God worship out there. You know, you got Thanksgiving and Halloween and all this crap coming up, okay? Stay away from it. Get away from it. Stay as far as the east is from the west from it. Don't go near it. Don't touch it, or you will surely die. Unless you repent, you will surely die. And we're in a time now where life is hanging by a thread. Do you understand that? I need to hear that you understand that. It says, so be on your guard so that your minds are never clouded with carousing, drunkenness, or anxieties, worries of this life, so that day will not come upon you unexpectedly. You know what? It's going to come on some unexpectedly. That's why he told you this. Wake up. Remember the foolish virgins? Remember, five wise and five foolish. That means there's going to be some fools that don't listen to the warnings that are going out. The time and the times have been fulfilled. We are now in the last half, the divided time, the time cut short. And it has to be cut short. You know why? Because if it isn't, you know what's going to take place. This is going to be the most horrible. You don't have any time. This is going to be the most horrible time period you've ever seen. Think about all the wars that have ever been fought. Think of all the plagues that mankind has ever suffered. It's going to be a walk in the park compared to what we're getting ready to go into. He didn't tell you this is going to be the worst time of trouble ever to fill in blanks on the book of Yahweh there, or to take up time and waste his breath. This is serious business for us. We're facing the second death. We don't have to, you know, as the great apostle Shaul says, that he speaks this way to warn us, but he's hoping for better things for us. We don't have to suffer that, but we need to stay on our jobs. Get your mind off everything else but the work of Yahweh. That's what you need to focus on. That's what we need to focus on, the work of Yahweh. That's what pastor focuses on. You think he focuses on all the problems? Man, if he had to think about all the problems all the time, he'd never get anything done. Yahweh's going to work those things out for you. What you need to do is what the great Kohan told us one time years back, do Yahweh's work. That's Yahweh's insurance policy right there. You do the work, Yahweh will take care of the rest, okay? Keep focused, keep your mind on the work. And at this time, I have a really, really awesome opportunity and privilege to present to you one of Yahweh's great teachers in his house, the great Kohan Alyonai Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Yes, speaking about the time cut short and talking about not letting down our guard at all, I'm going to be speaking today about the explosion of, you know, diseases out there. Right now, Ebola is what's in the news. But, you know, the way the news is going about Ebola, it's scary. It's a serious problem out there. But they're making out like, you know, everything was fine before Ebola came along. But the fact is, things have not been fine. In fact, things have been steadily getting worse. And there are many new diseases coming up all the time, new gods, you know, coming up all the time. And the world is on the edge right now. And I'm going to be speaking to us about some of these things. So we can't let down our guard at all. We have to continue to do all of those things, even get better at them that we've been taught at the house of Yahweh. Right now, if we look at what's been going on in the last 10 years, there have been series of epidemics all around the world. While Ebola is killing people in West Africa, there is hepatitis also killing people there. And there's hepatitis B and C and the other type from A to E, killing people all around the world as well. About 1 million deaths per year are attributed to viral hepatitis infections. Together, hepatitis B virus and hepatitis C are the leading cause of liver cancer in the world, accounting for 78% of cases. Nearly one of every three people in the world, approximately 2 billion people, have been infected by the hepatitis B virus. That's 2 billion people are carrying this in their bodies at various stages. Some are, you know, progressing into disease, slowly destroying the liver. And then in some cases, in fact, in many cases, people don't even know that they're having to battle with this every day. Now think about all the people we come in contact with in the shopping malls, in the plane, in public places, who used the ATM machine the last time, you know, just before we got there. You don't even know. And these things are passed on from people to people. Sin is the reason it's passed on. These are STDs we're talking about here. And of course, they could be passed on even just from touching the doorknob. We had an experiment where we were trying to culture bugs from various parts, various places in the last week. And we cultured them in Petri dishes, and we began to observe them. And we found some interesting developments, you know, from places where we thought, you know, we will not have growth of microbes, you know, just to prove that there are microbes everywhere. For most of them are beneficial, but of course there are those that are not beneficial, that will be left behind by people who are, you know, defiled. You know, our body fluids from unclean people is always unclean, and we need to be on guard not to be defiled by them, by not mingling with or having we can go out to do our work, but we have to be very careful to minimize the level of contact with the world, because right now it's dangerous out there. And apart from hepatitis, there was in 2012 the MERS virus. That's the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, you know, which was made rounds in 2012, which was seen mainly among people who traveled to the Middle East. And it was taken to the United States, taken to Europe, taken to Africa, and so on and so forth. From there, you know, spreading. Now, these are current situations, not talking about the Ebola virus yet. And there was dengue fever. Dengue fever is in South America. You know, that was an epidemic, which is still ongoing in Pakistan. About 14,000 people were infected with dengue fever in that country, and that's still ongoing anyway. And there are five types of dengue fever. And of course, right now, they don't even know how to deal with this. These are viral diseases we're talking about, and they don't have a clue as to what to do about them. Okay, all they do to make it look like they're doing something is they put you on the bed in hospital where you risk getting many other infections and nosocomial infections. And then they, you know, give you infusions, you know, and at the end of the day, they write out a bill. And then you have to pay it, whether you're dead or alive. And there is the cholera outbreak that took place in Haiti in 2010-11. And you can go on and on. We remember the swine flu. The swine flu, which combined, you know, combination of bird flu, swine flu, human flu viruses. You know, so it was like the pastor would say, witch's brew, you know, put together by sin. And that went around. In fact, that was the swine flu outbreak was the second largest flu epidemic since the 1918 epidemic. In 1918, one out of every five people on the planet was killed, equivalent to about 50 million people. I mean, one out of every five was infected, about 50 million people were killed during that epidemic. And right now, doctors are actually preparing, you know, medical science is preparing for another major outbreak. So we're worrying about Ebola right now because it's killing people very quickly. Well, they say it has to be through close contact. People don't transmit until they start showing symptoms, but there are many more things they will transmit even before they get Ebola. So the point is, we need to be very careful if we have any business to do outside of these premises. We have to be very, very careful because it's dangerous out there. If we turn quickly to Luke 21, verse 11, that's on page 807. Then it said to them, verse 11 now, that it says, great earthquakes will be throughout place to place with famines and pestilences, disease epidemics, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Disease epidemics, pestilences, and disease epidemics prophesied for this time period. This is the time cut short. We don't expect it to get any better. It's going to get worse, if anything. And like I said before, 50 million people killed in 1918 during the flu epidemic. Who knows how many is going to be killed now when it occurs again. They are really bracing up for it. They are really taking steps to prepare themselves. But the problem with the flu vaccine, I mean with the flu epidemic, is what they usually use in preparing for viral infections is vaccines. Now, how do you prepare vaccine towards a disease that has hundreds of variants? You might have vaccines for maybe 3 or 4, maybe 10, maybe 20. How do you go to 100 different variants? So there is no way out of it except that we turn to Yahweh, to turn to Yahweh's house, to seek Yahweh and his house now. And that's not talking about emerging diseases. Emerging diseases defined by the World Health Organization as diseases that has appeared in a population for the first time, or diseases that have been there, have been latent, have not been, you know, much of a problem, but suddenly has started to increase. Or diseases that were limited to certain locations, but now has started to jump to different cities and different countries and across continents. Now, those are emerging diseases. There are many diseases in that category right now waiting to unleash, you know, to wreak havoc on the world right now. And they're preparing for them too, but how much preparation can they do? The only thing they can do is stockpile medicines that even create more problems. So right now, the world is confused as to what to do, but the house of Yahweh has the answers. And we've been taught what to do for years by pastor. We've been told that in order to save ourselves and our families, we need to, you know, do the cleanses. We need to, minimize contact to the world, to get out of the world and not be part of their affairs. And just to mention a few of these diseases before I close, there is a blastomycosis with a mortality rate so far of about, 1,216 documented deaths from that, you know, and that's in the United States. And there is a Legionnaire's disease, which continues to wreak havoc all around the world. There is, of course, the influenza, which continues to come up occasionally, the various types of influenza, the respiratory viruses of all kinds of, even drug-resistant candida, candida glabrata, in cancer patients. You know, they got cancer and then they got candida infections that will not go. They've even found herpes in gorillas, human herpes, not gorilla herpes, but human herpes in gorilla. How did it get there? Of course, whatever took it there is going to take some from the gorilla and spread it among the human population too, through the bestiality, through the sodomy, through all the practices that they engage in. So all of this is, and of course there is a vaccine-induced waning of Haemophilus influenza in Angola. You know, there is also raw pig blood consumption and the potential risk of streptococcus infection. That's in Vietnam. All over the world, these are emerging diseases. This was put out by the Centers for Disease Control. You know, it's a... Okay, it's Emerging Infectious Diseases, you know, and so on, which is a publication put together by the Centers for Disease Control. You can see CDC right up there. And they are really, really preparing for these outbreaks. So the world is in serious trouble, and they had to learn this lesson. So until they learn this lesson, this is, you know, it's going to keep going on. And if we turn to Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, starting from verse 15, that's on page 169. Verse 15, 20, 27, and 35, it says, however, if you do not obey Yahweh your father and do not carefully follow all his laws and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses will come upon you and accompany you. And this is the evidence that we're seeing right now. And verse 20 says, Yahweh will allow to come upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke. I'm just going to skip on down to 27. It says, Yahweh will afflict you. Or well, will allow you to be afflicted because they bring this upon themselves with the sin they commit. It says, Yahweh will allow you to be afflicted with the diseases of Egypt, with tumors, with festering sores, and the itch from which you cannot be healed. And verse 35, Yahweh will allow you to be afflicted, from your knees and legs with a severe inflammation, which cannot be healed, spreading from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. And of course, like I pointed out before, that we are being taught in the house of Yahweh exactly how to protect ourselves and our families from these diseases, and including Ebola that is making rounds right now. Ebola is not getting any better. There are projections that say by January we're going to have about 1.2 million Ebola cases. Yes, the CDC says about 550,000 cases. That's by January. And it's not, none of the projections look great at all, you know, but we're instructed in Deuteronomy 24, verse 8. That's on page 166. Verse 8, it says, be very careful during an outbreak of leprosy or infectious skin disease, as in this case, other diseases as well, that you diligently observe and do exactly as the priests who are Levites teach and instruct you. You must follow carefully what I have commanded you. Yahweh has given Pastor what he needs to protect the rest of us. If we will only listen to and obey, then we will be protected. May Yahweh bless your understanding at this time. If you'll all please stand, I'd like to turn this over to the great Kahan Eliahila Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today in the news, we're going to be taking a look at what's taking place globally, especially with these wars that we see taking place over in the Middle East, and the wars, the confrontations taking place, and what world leaders are saying. And of course, we have leaders here from America that are saying that there will be no boots on the ground, but yet the generals are saying there will be boots on the ground. And also, we're going to touch on, you know, another tragedy, a school shooting here in the United States of America again. It's amazing. We've matched the Ebola deaths with school shootings yesterday, but it doesn't make the news, and it seems to be the average norm. And of course, it's all due to the rejecting of these laws of peace. We could put an end to this with these laws of peace, but You know, listen very carefully to what is said. The very last one will be President Vladimir Putin will be speaking. He spoke at the 11th annual Valdai Discussion Club, and that's in Sochi. And listen very carefully to what he says about this new world order and what's behind it. Now, of course, we know these leaders that are behind it. It's the counsel they're receiving. But the motto of this, or the kind of topic discussion, was new rules or no rules. And remember, who said that we didn't need these rules was, of course, Pope Francis. So at this time, if we could play the news. This time, if everyone would please stand, we'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. I'm surprised you can still do this, but that is great. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Got a cheering section down here that goes on and on. I don't know if you could understand. It's always hard to understand when someone is translating for someone else, but we're going to try to get that in. We're going to get it. A manuscript made on it. So you can, this is talking back to me, the mics are. So you can see Revelation 6 fulfilled right there. The powers are combining their strength. And of course, this is what Putin was encouraging here against the United States and against Rome. It wouldn't surprise me if Russia or Rome would probably be the ones that bomb Rome. I mean, bomb the seven hills of Rome. That I'm thinking it was either be Russia or China that would bomb them. Announcement for the feast of Passover 2015, we will be having purple holy garments available, Yahweh willing. He's willing, you just need to get in a hurry. Place your orders. We need your sizes, and your size, your name, your phone number, and so forth. The South Office. At the South Office. The Israel Says program has gone over real big. We actually ran a press release on this and what it actually does. And 41,745 newspapers have already got it out, plus high-tech stations, tech news, ABC2, Wisconsin, Cincinnati, Ohio. It's going really strong. A way to get back our health and stop wars. That's up to 69,000. And the nuclear wars on the horizon is up to almost 100,000, 95,470. So they're wanting us to reach to target some of these countries because of the fact that many of these countries are behind Putin and saying, you heard what he said, I hope you got that part where he said, we need laws that we can all live with. And we need to follow those laws. Well, of course, that's the teaching of the House of Yahweh, is the laws that we can live with. We're getting ready. I won't be able to cover it, but we're getting ready to go into the most trying time the world has ever had. But also a selection is going to be made at that time, as we can see in Scripture. And As one of the elders mentioned this morning that I was talking with, if you lose it now, brethren, the second death, that's your second death. There won't be another one. You won't have another chance. The thing for you to do is humbly submit yourself. Unity is what's going to get you through this. It's not going to be somebody else's. It's going to be yours. Throughout the scriptures, the 6,000 years of man's trials and tests, the proving that mankind his way of choosing is what's brought all of this sickness, disease, war, hatred, and going to bring the world down. In fact, it's they would not follow Yahweh's prophets, and they had their own way, their own reasoning. It looked good to them. Nothing wrong with what I'm doing. if you got a position in the house of Yahweh, you really need to keep that position. I was talking to one of the appointments is a lady at the feast. She said she was wanting to move here to go to work in the house because she saw the need of growth that she would only get from this location. And of course she was she's been studying a lot, but she said she's got to meet her payments, so she's got to get her debts paid. And I said, you know, I've heard that statement probably at least 10,000 times. I've got to, and this is what they told Yahshua, I've got to get my debts paid first, and then I'll come follow you. That's exactly what they said to him, and he showed us that. And I said, when a person goes out in the world, they don't get their debts paid. They get in debt, and they get in debt deeper. And we've had people who we were paying their rent, their utilities. We were sending them to school free of charge, paying their meals, everything. Everything was taken care of while they were taking an education, getting an education. There's no way if a price was put on it, there's no way anyone could pay it. If Yahweh, it's worth more than gold, Yahweh says, more than gold and silver. But of course, it's all free. And to leave that and go out into the world so you can get out of debt, you know, that's as stupid as the words that came from your mouth. You go in debt deeper, and you never get it paid. But this woman now, we have a woman here that just quit. She'd been driving back and forth to work for 30-something years. And the only thing she got out of it was a car to drive back and forth to work. Well, this one that I met at the feast was the same way. She was paying like almost $400 a month, and she is living with her mother now, living with her mother. Her mother was paying her bills. She couldn't even afford a house. She couldn't afford a room, apartment, or anything. And I said, well, what are you paying on that stupid car? And she said, all my check. Everything I got left goes on the car. And I said, and how long do you own this? She said, about 24 months. And I said, oh, you just got it. And I said, oh, no, I've been doing this for a couple of years. She says, it's a 48 months loan. The car's going to be wore out before she gets it paid for. It'll be wore out, and then she'll have to buy another one to drive back and forth to work to pay for the car. Now, that's the rat race the world is in right now. Surely that doesn't make sense to anyone here. Surely you can figure out this is stupid. A person could come here, get their rent free, you know, I mean, they get everything free, even their education. Everything is taken care of. and they're getting an education for a permanent job that won't be paying for automobiles, but you won't even need your automobiles to travel when you get this position in Yahweh's kingdom. But you can throw it away, and if you do throw it away, that's your second death. You won't be qualified for another. You won't be qualified for another chance. What have you gotten over the years? What have you gotten? Think about it. What have you gotten? More debts. More debts. And when you die, if you die, you'll leave all them debts to someone else to pay. They have insurance, you know. And you being in the grave, you're not going to know whether that insurance paid the thing off or not, are you? You don't know but what there wasn't a hook or a crook in an insurance company, which they are. All of these insurance companies, I've told you, they're out for the insurance company. They're out to make money. They're not out to pay your debts. And they have loopholes. And of course, your wife or your husband is left with that loophole. That wasn't the sermon, but I've got it here somewhere. The sermon, if we could get this diseases, you know, the earth is filled with diseases. I read an article the other day where the new diseases, you know, we're facing Ebola, of course, and that's a forbidden word, and you know, no cures, and they claim that they're curing it, and they're really not, because what started Ebola is still out there, and it'll be there after they think they got it whipped, just like, and they're admitting this now, just like AIDS and syphilis and stuff like that. They said, you know, they cured it, but they haven't. It's worse now than ever. And it's in the bodies, and the scientists are putting out messages now. If you get these diseases, you'll have them when you die. There is no cure, no way to get rid of them. This let me show you this first. Let's go to Leviticus. I'm trying to distinguish what to bring because I haven't got much time. But go to Leviticus here, the second chapter. I was so glad that that our great biology teacher, I tell you, that is great. If you missed that new moon last night, be sure and get the next new moon. From one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh appear before me. Did everyone hear that? You could read it if you want to in Isaiah 66, and those who don't want to appear, you know, and they have the great opportunity of doing so. This is needful information. These are not movie entertainment movies that they're showing, but it's just more of what our great teacher from Africa has come here to teach, a professor in this. And of course, if you could get that and come, we're going to play it again next new moon, but I'd encourage those who missed it to be sure and be here. You can't get this anywhere else in the world. There's no one that knows how to put this together anywhere else in the world. And of course, now the scientists are agreeing with us all over the world. In Leviticus 2, if you don't make the new moons, remember what Yahshua said when he started hearing these excuses, you know, forgetting. I mean, we got it on your calendar. We make announcements from one week to the other. You know, you're really not going to have an excuse for fitting, for forgetting. Maybe you ate too much supper. Maybe that would be the excuse you had, and you just couldn't get through with that supper fast enough to get to the new moon. How's that going to sound to Yahshua? How does any excuse sound to Yahshua or Yahweh? Here is life. Here's life right here. It's death what you're practicing if you go the other way. Why didn't you ask somebody? Why didn't you ask when is the new moon? What are we having tonight? What time does the sun go down? You know, so you'll know these things. There's no excuse out there for this. But be here next new moon and see this stuff that is being put out. You really need what is being put out. In Leviticus, the second chapter, and the second chapter, and look at verse 13. We'll go back to number 11. No grain offerings you bring to Yahweh shall be made with leavening, for you shall burn no leaven, nor any honey in any offering to Yahweh made by fire. That's a little bit off, but I already explained it, so I won't waste that time. You may bring your first tithe to Yahweh, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a pleasant aroma. Every offering of your grain offering and your seed shall be seasoned with salt. Do you get that word salt? That's what I want you to see. Seasoned with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of Yahweh to be lacking. Put plenty from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. All your offerings. Every meal that you get is an offering. Every meal you prepare is an offering. And the salt is very valuable, or he wouldn't tell you. Now, remember, all the time they've been telling you, don't eat salt. Don't eat salt. Let's look over to Mark quickly. And let's see, Mark 9, because the Savior who speaks to us in this time period, he is speaking to you now. Speaking to you right now at this time period. And he says here in Mark 9 and verse 49. For everyone will be salted with fire. Everyone serving Yahweh will be salted with fire. The codex there says same. Other translations have omitted this clause. I wonder why. And every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is healthy. Now that's your Savior doing the speaking here. Salt is healthy. Get this in your mind, because I'm going to show you something. You're going to blow your mind here in just a moment. Salt is healthy in form and nature, but it's just healthy. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, with what shall we season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. How can you be at peace if you don't have a healthy mind and healthy body? And that's what he's telling you here. This was used for cleansing water in 2 Kings, if you'll turn there quickly. 2 Kings, one of the prophets actually cleansed the water, and they say it's still cleansed. Even to this very day, it is still clean at that place, but it wasn't at that time, and it was killing both cattle, sheep, and people who drank of it unaware. 2 Kings 2. And notice verse 20. He says, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went to the source of the water supply, threw the salt there, and said, This is what Yahweh says, I have healed the water. Never again shall it cause death, nor the land be unproductive. The water remains wholesome to this day, according to the word of Elisha had spoken. Now, in the anointing solution, be turning over to Exodus 30. In the anointing solution that Yahweh gave to anoint the priest, this is something that I haven't produced or reproduced yet or imitated, but we're studying it because I'm thinking it's time to do so. But in this anointing solution that was given, made for Aaron and his sons, we see sweet cane. Now they call it pure cane. But we see the sweet cane in this. Remember the salt now. Don't forget the salt. And look at chapter 30, verse 20. Whenever they entered the tent of meeting, no, let's go back to 22, verse 22. 30 and verse 22. Then Yahweh said to Moshe, take the following fine spices, 500 shekels, about 12 and one half pounds of the liquid myrrh, half as much sweet smelling cinnamon. Cinnamon also, remember the word cinnamon now. Shekels of sweet smelling cane. Pure cane, make it pure cane. I don't see any mixture there. No better than sugar is written there that I can see. Five 500 shekels of cassa, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hen, about 4 quarts of olive oil, and you shall make from these holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table with all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the lever and its base. You shall sanctify them. Notice how they sanctify them with this, that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons with this same ingredients there. Verse 23, the sugar cane. I would say this is sugar, not the stalk. It has to be the sugar. You wouldn't put a stalk in there for that, or a stem. So it had to be brought from that, and that was from the pure juice that was squeezed from it. Now I want to read you a letter here that I got yesterday from or day before. But as you know in the news, they're saying that there's no Ebola left in Nigeria. Nigeria declared Ebola free. Now, this is put out the 20th, October the 20th, and it's a World Health Organization, Nigeria free of Ebola virus. Nigeria, water laced with salt and sugar. Water laced with salt and sugar. I'll repeat that 10 times. And gallons of the nasty tasting stuff. Doctors who survived Ebola in Nigeria. The Ebola in Nigeria credited heavy doses of fluids with saving their lives, as the World Health Organization declared the country Ebola-free Monday, a rare victory in the battle against the disease that is ravaging West Africa. In the end, Nigeria, the most populous country in Africa with 160 million people, had just 20 cases, including 8 deaths, a lower death rate in the 70% seen elsewhere across the stricken region. Officials are crediting strong tracking and isolation of people exposed to the virus and aggressive rehydration. Now, they're saying what killed these people, how the Ebola kills the people, is that it dehydrates the body with vomiting and diarrhea. So they're saying that when this occurs, diarrhea and vomiting, you really need to replace this with salt, sugar, and water. I'll give you the formula here in just a minute. Of infected patients to counter the effect of vomiting, diarrhea, and other symptoms. Nigeria's contaminant of Ebola is a spectacular success story, says the World Health Organization and director for Nigeria. Survivor, Dr. Adora, the name, I pronounced it Iganol, I-G-O-N-A-H, said the treatment is not easy. It entails drinking, as she did, she had it too, at least 5 liters, that's 1.3 gallons, of the solution every day for 5 or 6 days. When you have mouth sores and sore throat and feel depressed, you don't want to drink anything. That is, you don't desire to drink anything. You're not wanting to put anything in your mouth. In fact, you feel so bad you would just want to lay down and die. You're too weak. And with the sore throat, it's difficult to swallow. But you know when you have just vomited, you need it, she told the Associated Press. I had to mentally tell myself, you have got to drink this fluid, whether it tastes nice or not. Some 9,000 people have been infected with Ebola, and about 4,500 have died, mostly in hard-hit Sierra Leone, and Liberia, with the number of cases expected to increase in the coming weeks. Dr. Mordell, one of the world's leading experts on viral hemorrhagic fever, said that the number of deaths could be cut in half if infected people were taught to properly hydrate themselves and do not take inflammatory drugs, which can actually harm Ebola victims. World Health Organization Director Margaret Chan said that internal World Health Organization reports obtained by the AP that said the UN agency bungled efforts to control the outbreak. Mordell of Brigham University Hospital of South Massachusetts called rehydration a low-tech approach that has been neglected by a medical system focused on groundbreaking research. Nigeria's outbreak began in Lagos with a single infected Liberian. Now, this began with just a single one person, and it spread like crazy. This, and if you, when you read this, when you see this, and you remember, there's new, brand new cases by the thousands arising every week now. I'll read you that article in just a little bit. Every week, thousands of new cases. New cases. They don't even know what they are. They're not the ones that they've already identified. Arising every week. It's just a matter of time. This one, I told you, was a cross, a three-way lineage cross between a pig, an ape. They didn't show the third one, but I said in the letter, a newsletter, pigs don't rape apes, apes don't rape pigs, but you got a man getting this disease. Men rape everything. They're like AIDS. We didn't show the article, I don't believe, but there's another women's movement. They're using F words to try to get people's attention. It was on the news yesterday. And they were saying, why the F, these are little girls, why the F do we have to put up with rape? In a land as big as the United States and supposed to be educated and trying to help people all over the world, why do we here in America have to put up with this? And then they had some mothers that came behind them that got even worse than this, trying to get attention because rape cases are spreading. Yes, diseases are spreading with the rape cases because they could have AIDS or whatever. They don't care. There's no curing in the world today. It's just like 2 Timothy told you. The days are come. It's here. It's here. There's no love. The love is cold. Tonight, if you want to go see it, there's a special event in this great religious town of Abilene. Three major religious universities. They're going to start cage fighting. Caged fighting. Now, I just read last week where the churches are making a killing off of this because they're bringing the cages into the churches, and on certain nights they have caged fighting. This is where two men are put in a cage like two bulldogs. Of course, it's against the law for you to let the bulldogs fight. Don't that make a lot of sense? And I bet you the Supreme Court would actually justify what they're doing. That's how stupid the Supreme Court of America is. They don't care if Catholic priests rape little girls or little boys. In fact, let's teach this in our schools, they say. We're not taking listening to any more of your complaints, they say. That's our Supreme Court of America. Taught from Rome. The leader of the kings of the world. Nigeria's outbreak began in Lagos with a single infected Liberian. I think someone gave them a formula. I think his name was Hawkins. We have thousands of people in Nigeria right now. Thousands of members of Yahweh's group. The last thing anyone in the world wants to hear is two words. Ebola and Lagos. In the same sentence, U.S. Consul General Jeffrey Hawkins. I'm not lying. Jeffrey Hawkins noted at the time saying the development raised the specter of an apocryphic urban outbreak. Referring, of course, to Revelations. I think the next thing he says, you need to get some salt in your bodies. The eight deaths included two doctors and a nurse. that we only, he says, we won the battle, but we only won the battle. We haven't won the war. The war is still raging, he says. It's still going on. There is no license, that there is no licensed treatment for Ebola. So doctors focus on hydration and supportive care, even in developed countries. In some cases, doctors have been suppressed that keeping patients hydrated has been enough to save them. In some countries, doctors have been surprised that keeping patients hydrated, keeping them drinking this liquid, has been enough to save them, to improve several rates, to improve survival rates. Mardell said, it is time to designate packaged hydration solutions. Put it in a package and sell it to them. And then maybe they'll drink it. He said, she sometimes added orange juice to hers to make it more palatable. We drank some of it, and it doesn't taste bad to me. In fact, it tastes great with just put ice in it, and I put a little bit of vinegar. But I drank salt water every day. Every day. I don't miss a day that I know of. Praise Yahweh. Well, here's the recipe if you want to write it down. Recipe for making 1 liter of rehydration, oral rehydration solution, using sugar, salt, and water. One clean bowl, a 1 liter bowl, five cupfuls. Now there's a difference for those who don't know. There's a cup, and then there's a mug, and the mug, of course, is 2 cups. So the smallest one is a cup. Get you a measuring cup. That would even be better. But put 5 cupfuls of water, then sugar. Put 6 level teaspoons of sugar. Salt. 1/2 level teaspoon, 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Stir the mixture till the sugar dissolves. Every 5 minutes, the homemade solution is adequate in most cases to get rid of Ebola. If the diarrhea is severe, ask your chemist for a special pack of oral rehydration salt. Follow the instructions on the pack carefully. Drink sips of the oral rehydration solution, or give the oral rehydration solution to the conscious dehydrated person every 5 minutes until urination becomes normal. It's normal to urinate 4 or 5 times a day. Adults and large children should drink at least 3 quarts or liters of oral rehydration solution a day until they are well. And they have pretty much proven that it will get rid of it. Now, remember how they turn against salt, of course. Let's see, the time of gathering. I don't have time, I'm out of time. But there is a time, this is a time of gathering right now. And of course, the main thing, you're going to have to remember this and try to abide by it. The main thing that's going to get you, keep you, because you're going to be judged in this. Yakiska shows that you're going to be judged if you submit yourself, and you humbly submit yourself, and you, as Yahshua said, like a little child, and you obey. Don't do like the priests that Yahweh shows us examples of, who he would give instruction, and then they would go the other way and think, well, they had it all figured out. He doesn't ask you to figure it out. He asked you to obey, to obey. And of course, if you don't obey, he can't use you in his kingdom. Can you imagine Yahweh's kingdom after all this effort of 6,000 years to prove what disobedience would bring? Can you imagine him letting in someone that doesn't agree? How can two agree? How can two walk together unless they agree? You can't. And he won't allow it. But this is coming. It's very, very close now. We can see from the news with Russia how they're building up opposition for the United States. Not only that, I read several articles this week how that Russia has submarines in strategic places around the United States and around Ukraine to counteract attack from the United States. So they're getting ready for war, and there was leaders there from China and several other nations listening to this man talk. We'll get that in a manuscript where you can read it. His words are very important. They show the actual fulfillment now of Revelation 6 with the Catholic Church, with the United States, and of course the other three. And of course you heard the words spoken by the great Kohan Eliyah Haller Hawkins about Britain's leader and joining the Catholic Church and what it got him. And of course, he got promoted, and now he's head of the quartet. So everybody is tuning in with the Catholic Church to bring about this one world order that the Pope has commanded, and what Malachi Martin told us about before it ever started, the plans of the Catholic Church. So we know that we're in the right time period. We know that this generation, we're in the last part of this generation. We see everything developed and ready to go. It's just a touch of the button and it's gone. And of course, we see what's going to take place in that great gathering of these people that's going to come out of great tribulation. The greatest of the great tribulation. We're going to bring people out. But you're going to be on test there too. You know, if you run, Yahweh says you will get killed. And there won't be another chance. There won't be a second chance. There won't be another life for you, period. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you.